Hi, I'm Eddie.
I'm Meg.
I'm Donovan. This week we'll be having a tech talk. We'll talk about our time with technology, what we thought about it.
Maybe your time with technology too.
Yeah.
Maybe our time was your time. Maybe you can relate.
We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll talk at least.
We'll find out what we talk about soon.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
The intro because I just go deep.
Uh-oh.
I know that's fucked that that did that because I
is that gonna happen every week, Eddie?
No. What happened is I made a playlist for just our podcast theme song so that it would like stop because we were always getting like the Swanee River playing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like after and so I was like, okay, I fixed it. Because it worked for the other podcast today where I made a playlist.
Not for us.
Fucking phone can't help but play another song.
Just keep doing it.
Oh, it's like
it's playing another playlist.
What?
It's like, you're done with that playlist? Here's another one.
You need to maybe find
That's
a function for
right.
that.
That's not right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. There should be a function. There ought to be a function.
Well, I guess we'll get to that a little later.
I don't know.
In the show.
Honestly.
Just came up with a new technology.
I understood it. A long time ago, and I don't understand.
Oh,
it
I
now.
Know. It just you got to take time with it to understand it, and I'd have no interest in doing that.
I thought I solved it.
Have either of you performed like a feat of parental strength since your children have been born? Like,
oh, like just, pulled them out from under a tractor?
Yeah, anything like that? Where you?
Well,
just,
I did that.
No, you had the closet door.
Oh yeah, actually,
did you save a closet door from falling?
Yes. Mine have. I think in rather than.
It's
strength,
been speed.
It's been, yeah, it's been reaction time.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a man, they call it the dad reflex.
I don't think.
If you're a mom, they call it the mom reflex, yeah. I believe.
It's just super speed, parental super speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where
so,
time slows down momentarily.
So this just happened last week. We were in Meadowlark's room and her closet door is not very secure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those ones with all the slats coming down. It's has two narrow panels that have a hinge.
Oh yeah, the kind that R. Kelly uses to hide behind.
Exactly. So anyway, it was folded and it started to fall just out of the hinge and it was gonna land on Savvy and it's like pretty heavy.
Yeah, you didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, and she was towards the further end from where it was falling.
Maximum torque.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I threw out my arm. She was sitting, well, I threw it kind of back, actually, because she was almost sitting behind me. So it's like pretty psychic that I even knew this was falling. It's like I saw it out of the corner of my vision.
Yeah. And time
and
slowed for a moment that you knew exactly what was happening and what to do in that second.
So, yeah, I threw my hand back before it landed on Sappy's head. And, I feel like she's already had a couple of things like that. Things are like always almost falling on her to
sounds
badly injured.
Is she a little accident prone?
I think so, yeah.
Totally.
She's a little
clumsy. No. She's just F's with everything. It's not like she's more prone. She's just like making more opportunities
for bad things
to happen.
Getting that babe a helmet just to wear around the house.
Well, mine is
That's
a little more.
Not a bad idea, but she'd just go, and then pull it off.
Mine was a little more miraculous because I was melting butter in a pan in Florida when we were making pancakes with Riley. And the butter had melted and it had started to bubble. And I was thinking about taking it off, but then Safi came and was tall enough to grab the handle of the pan and pull it off of the stove. So it goes falling toward her and somehow, like I'm in the kitchen with her. somehow I caught the pan by the handle and didn't spill any butter anywhere, like mid-fall onto her. And I'm like, that was crazy. Like,
amazing.
Like, I was kind of like, this doesn't really represent my reality. And it's like, I don't think this should have happened, but it did.
Yeah. And so let's There's something about that kid. She's got like the bubble, like the force field around her.
She has, she's able to connect to your mind. Yeah. You can see through her eyes for a moment and you're like, oh shit.
She also pulled down the rice cooker from the like cord because it was plugged into the island.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in almost done cooking the rice, so hot, like the
super
hot. Hot,
but maybe a little bit of water left, which is probably the worst.
Yeah, like the most dangerous version of it. And it fell and it spilled and like it got everywhere. The glass kind of clinked off.
It was like,
it didn't hit her at all.
Yeah, there was like, like this, there was like this fort field of rice around her.
Yeah, like sprayed in some pattern that didn't touch her.
She needs to, you know, it sounds like you also need a straight jacket along with the health thing.
I've thought that, but I like my original theory.
But they don't sell them
that,
in that
like,
size.
Well, maybe if we let her like fail, she'll learn more, but that's not.
It doesn't seem to be.
It sounds like
working.
She would have had, you know, some very hard times had she not been protected in such a way. So that could be part of it as well.
Yeah, the rice cooker.
Right.
I think that one was on God. I don't know. We don't have any explanation for that, right? Because neither one of us were there.
Neither of us changed the course of the rice cooker during its fall.
So someone else was here when that happened? Like,
no, we were both standing right there, but we didn't
actually
neither
see
of
it.
Us got to it close enough.
None of
yeah,
you
it
saw
happened
it.
Behind
yeah.
it happened behind my back and too far away from Eddie. So
yeah.
I think that's what happened.
So I guess what we're saying is that she's really, really skilled. Like when she pulled the pan off, she was like, I'm going to get this so that dad catches it.
No, it's definitely not skill.
Cool.
It's luck. It's good luck so
That's
far.
A very low-setting stove for a small child to be able to pull the butter pan
off. No, she's pretty tall.
And then they can like stand up on their toes and reach really far. Like, kids are
So, yeah,
dangerous.
I imagine the handle of the pan was like over the counter.
Yeah,
over
so
the
yeah.
stove
what you're supposed
counter.
To do
yeah.
is turn,
Put, turn it in, yeah.
Turn
yeah.
the handle in. And
Just in
I'm
case you bump it, too. You know, you don't want to be walking through and hit it with your hip.
I'm not a skilled cook, but if you're just melting butter, it just takes a few seconds.
Especially if the stove is knee high, like you're going to want to turn that in every time.
Right. Yeah, it was a child size stove. adult size amount of butter. I'm glad you asked, though. I've always wanted to tell that story. So, thanks.
So what was the question?
Oh, just, you know.
Parental feats of strength.
Oh, right.
It sounds like you both, it's been speed thus far. But
Yeah. Nothing.
I hope us talking about it hasn't like nicked you down one.
Oh, no, I'm not worried. Nicked us down?
Like, you know, you get, you know, five feats of strength.
Oh.
And having discussed it, now you've spent one.
Right. You're not supposed to talk about your feats of strength.
Maybe that might be it.
That's part of the rules.
It's like Fight Club.
Yeah. You only get five, and talking about them is a demerit.
Yeah, that could be a thing, too.
That's what Donovan thinks.
I mean, it maybe.
Feats of strength. I rode Meadowlark on the bicycle earlier.
Yeah, it sounds
that was
like...
Why are you breathing that way?
Why are you so tired, Dad? I'm working here.
Why are we going so slow? Wasn't that another one?
Yeah. But why are we going so slow?
Why are your armpits crying?
Yeah,
Dad, you're sweaty.
She wasn't like...
What's that smell, Dad?
Yeah. I have a lot to look forward to once she finds out where the jugular is. It was all innocent, but it stung a little bit. And I need to like go out and practice with a bag of rice in there.
Yeah, she's trying to get you motivated. She's a personal trainer. You need to go put a cinder block in the child's seat. And ride around for a while.
Yeah, and then she'll be like...
A cinder block is 18 pounds, so how many cinder blocks is your children?
Two.
Oh, only two. Yeah.
Only two.
One cinder block per?
No.
Metalik's two cinder blocks.
Metalik's two. Safi's probably 1.5.
1.5 cinder blocks.
But they're mortared together. Yeah. So that they're like one.
Metalik is actually like very. She's oscillating between 35 and like 37 pounds. So she's exactly
all a two cinder blocks.
Yeah, she's exactly two cinder blocks.
I never thought about it that way. Because two cinder blocks mortared together is.
I didn't realize they were that heavy.
They make another cinder block that has like a extra stone on the outside. You often see it in stem walls, you know, so it already has a texture layer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those are, I think, 25 pounds.
Okay.
I don't like putting those, carrying those around.
So we have one of those and then two of the smaller ones. Yeah. For metal.
Oh, man.
So
blocks.
You'd call that an open aggregate. You have one open aggregate cinder block. And just too standard.
So are they, is Metalark supposed to be able to pull her own weight in the blocks?
Yes, right now. And she's going to need to learn how to swim faster.
Let's not use the cinder blocks in the pool, though.
Do they sink, right?
No, yeah. It's definitely not in the pool.
I know,
but you need to get her out there. But you guys
You put them on her feet?
No, you put them on a sled. You put them on the sled in the yard.
Okay, right.
And then she pulls the sled with the two cinder blocks in it around the yard.
I think I was thinking of like...
Wait, why is she doing this? I forgot.
Oh, so she can pull her own weight.
I know, but why? Why does she need to do that?
I don't...
Because it's not her feats of strength.
It's so she can protect her sister when you guys aren't there.
Okay.
She picked Safi up the other day.
That's a feat of strength.
Oh, okay, this brings me back. As long as we're talking about our kids, I just wanted to go a little bit further and tell you that I went to Chick-fil-A today with the kids, and I invited a friend to join me at Chick-fil-A with the kids. Like, it turned out to be actually a pretty good friend date because... you got to interact with the kids, but they had something to do. Anyway.
Is there a play place at Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, there's a play place.
Oh, yeah.
And our kids love it. Particularly Meadowlark. Savvy doesn't care that much about it. Anyway, so my friend stayed in the playroom while I took Safi to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back, she goes, oh, it got crazy in here when you were gone. Like, some big kids came in and they were being mean. Like, they were being mean to the little kids. And this one girl said to Meadowlark, she looked right at her and she goes, your hair's a mess.
Nice. Sounds
and my
like...
reaction was, that's so funny.
Yeah. That's happened before, though, at Chick-fil-A.
There sounds like there's some bullies that roll the...
It was just two, they were older girls and mm-hmm. they were like, they were funny because they first came in and they like had, they had cell phones. And so they look around the playroom and they turn around and go like, this place is boring. Like, I'm
how
relieving.
Old were these children?
They're like 18.
She might have been like 12.
That's nuts.
And then there was like little bit younger.
They come in and insult the 3-year-old? Your hair is a mess. I'm 12.
No, they weren't. And I was like, those older girls like cared enough about Meadowlark to insult her. And then my friend was saying it just created such an environment of, what would you call that? Bullying. Mm-hmm. That a younger girl who was being nice before then turned around and like took it out on Meadowlark. Because you just have to like go down the food
the
chain.
The pecking order.
Yeah, the pecking order.
There was once I went to the same Chick-fil-A and some girl came in and I think Meadowlark had just started wearing underwear or something. And her pants were like down a little, like her pants were too big. And she goes, you need to pull up your pants. I can see your underwear. And it was like, oh man, like.
Yeah, that is like, oh my gosh, kids are so mean. It's like Meadowlark. I wonder what her context is for that, because I don't even know if she knows about kids being mean that way.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even know she's getting insulted, because it's like such a foreign
concept. Does she just like look at them like confusedly each time?
My hair is a mess. Yeah, because I don't let my mom brush it, because that sucks.
Yeah.
Of course my hair is
messy. So what? My hair is a mess.
Exactly. And that's why, I mean, that's probably why I laughed when she told me that, because it really was like, Meadowlark doesn't care if somebody says that to her.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I hope she never cares, but yeah, you know,
that would be great.
That's why you've got to keep them out of public school, I've heard.
Oh, yeah. But then they never deal with the public, or
I think it's
that's
just
the thing.
It's not the public at large. I think I don't know. I guess my only context for this is my boss has like an older son who's 11, who's like even been taught by Desi, just like in private schools and like home taught. And, like, he's totally cool, like, individualistic, like, little dancer, like, 11-year-old. And I think it kind of makes, like, my boss, uncomfortable. Because he's, like, really pushing to put him in public school.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, what? So he can become, like, a little asshole? Like, yeah. Why? You want your son to just, like...
No, I totally disagree, Donovan. I think it's, like... I think part of it is, like, oh, but they're living... I am raising them in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
To where they're not going to be able to interact with different parts of society because...
I think that's true, but it's also, like, that now, like, by putting his son in public school, he's going to, like, be bullied so much, like, in the next 2 years that he's going to have to form to, like, he's going to have to stop, like, wearing little dancer's clothes and, like, being himself.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean...
I think it might be, but I also, my theory with the asshole children is if you start them out in public school, then they slowly build that outer lobster shell, you know, mm-hmm. like the asshole exterior. And maybe it's like honed by the time you're in your 20s. But like if you start in your teens to get exposed to it, I think you're going to like, because people are kind of shitty. Like people are kind of mean.
I agree. But I mean, I think at the same time, the amount of homophobic remarks that, like, this kid's going to receive.
Yeah, but like, if you just keep that in a private environment, in a place where it's already accepted, then it's, like, the larger populace is not going to accept that because it's going to be always separate. So it's, like, I don't think it's necessarily that the kid would get picked on in a way that he couldn't handle, like,
you know, I guess I'm not giving him any credit. I just like I met him on 4th of July and I was like, wow, like this kid's really unique for like, because I, you know, I have 11-year-old like nephews and stuff. I've been around like a lot of kids, and like he was very like unique for like being like a young like kid. I was like, he's totally doing his own thing right now.
But I honestly think we live the culture for high school students today, I think that is way more accepted than it was when we were that age. I feel like difference is more respected and revered, like generally, mm-hmm. than it was 20 years ago. But you could contest that. That's just
the only way I'd be able to contest that is, you know, from what I know of where I was raised, which is not Athens, Georgia,
right.
You know. So were it Sholo, Arizona, like I could contest it because I know exactly what that environment
that's
is.
That's true. So that's
I really can't contest it in this environment because I don't know,
that's
you know,
true.
What it's like to be raised in Athens,
very
Georgia.
Very good point, because I do think that Athens is an urban environment. And that just lends itself to acceptance of more diversity, I think. So, I don't know. I just talked to a girl last night who had gone to Clark Central.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, like, really glad that she had gone there. She thought it was a really good high school experience, like, socially.
Totally.
So, and she, you know, she probably wasn't, like, Miss Popularity or anything, you know. She's just
nice.
She's a cool person.
I have nothing to add.
I'm sorry for getting in a heated debate, but I also,
well,
when you were saying it, I was like, I totally agree with what you're saying and why you're saying it, but I don't really agree with that.
Meg's waving her hands.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's important.
I don't really talk about what I believe very often, but in this instance, I felt like...
Yeah, and you help, you know, I obviously was in question of like why this person might want to send their son to to public school. And now, you know, it makes a little bit more sense. Because I guess at the end of the day, I would just worry that he would stop pursuing his interests to more form to like what the boys around him were doing, you know?
See, I don't think so. I think that it is nice. I'm gay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cut me off. Change the subject.
It's probably a good idea, to be honest. It's a little bit more heavy than we normally tread on this podcast.
It's a hot button issue.
I found another cucumber in our...
Oh, you did?
Our thing down there.
So my dad... This is like very typical of my dad, but he wants you to, what do you call it? Can you elaborate on that? He doesn't say that, but that's what he wants. He's like, you planted cucumbers? Like what kind of cucumbers? Yeah. I'm like, oh, we barely even knew they were cucumbers. We don't know what the variety of them
is. But they all have names, right? And like,
sure. Yeah. I saw a beetle in my yard.
Like, cucumberous. Stratus.
Yeah, I never have the right details.
You know, it's not a gherkin.
Telling my dad a story.
You know, it's not a gherkin, right?
No, we don't know.
Gherkin would be a little tiny.
Oh,
like,
no, it's not that. They're pretty big.
I think I don't know enough about cucumbers to even have a conversation about them. Yeah. I'm like, there's like an English cucumber, and Meg's like, no, those are long and thin.
Like, no, I know what that is. Everyone knows what that is.
Yeah, it sounds like the Schreibers know their vegetables better than the common person.
Maybe. He definitely knows his squash. Now,
I did that, and I'm like, I'm just like my dad, because I'm like, no, that's ridiculous. It couldn't be an English cucumber.
Everyone knows. That, like, then there's, like, the American cucumber? I don't know.
I do remember a neighbor at my parents' house was growing Asian cucumbers, and they had a much lighter skin, and they were tall and skinny. They were, like, really long, like, a yard long.
Oh, yeah.
And very light in, like, complexion.
Huh.
And
a yard long.
They were every bit of a yard long. I'm not kidding. They were really long. Three feet.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, well.
Why does that sound disgusting? That's like too much cucumber for like.
But it's like thin.
I kind of feel like I could eat a cucumber, but I couldn't eat a yard long.
You think you could
cucumber.
Eat a whole cucumber?
Honestly?
A foot long?
I think so.
Yeah. Most cucumbers are foot long.
Wait, that's more than a
foot.
No, most cucumbers.
I'm just saying you held up long.
Yeah, you had to.
Okay, but I said a foot.
You said a foot, but you showed like 18 inches.
Okay.
It is a foot.
Whatever I'm indicating with my hands is separate from what I'm saying with my mouth in this instance.
Nobody on the radio could see the diameter.
I didn't know that this came to Pate Club. Desi leaves town. And suddenly, everything is up for wonderment and discussion.
Well, yeah, with that, usually I just like whatever Desi says. I'm like, yeah, I agree with that.
Oh yeah.
So Meg has her own opinions tonight. What's the diameter of the foot long?
You know, I would
inch and a half. Don't do it with your fingers. Just say.
I have a hard time judging diameter.
I think probably. An inch and a half or less.
I think
inch and a quarter.
2 inches is standard.
I'd say like the very bottom of a baseball bat before you get to the knob.
The hilt.
Oh, okay.
The very hilt of
the
baseball bat.
The waist of the grip?
Yeah, the grip.
Yeah, I could eat that. Put it in a salad.
The whole thing?
3 feet
Man,
of that?
That's a lot of...
No, wait.
Well, the
one foot
is thinner, right?
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying that's about how thin it is. It's about the hilt of a baseball bat.
I thought you said 1 foot. I could eat 1 foot.
Oh, that's a normal... I would say a normal cucumber is 1 foot long.
I haven't held a baseball bat in a long time. Are you talking a wooden one or an aluminum one?
A wooden one.
Okay. I really don't know how thin it gets.
You're so confused with what I had said.
Can you eat a normal cucumber you purchase from the store in one shot? I would say they're about a foot long. They are a forest green complexion.
I see. When I buy a cucumber, I'm like, I could eat this. Like that's what gets me into buying it. It's like, because what else are you going to do with it? You're going to pickle it.
You're just going to eat it in one shot?
They don't keep for very long.
If I could do that, if you peel like some, I'll peel the cucumber. But I don't feel like I'd eat all that skin and like the guts of a cucumber.
I think you'd have to marinate it.
Dicing it, mixing it with some like Italian dressing.
You just changed it into a salad. Instead of just eating a raw cucumber.
What about a gazpacho?
I would give you salt and pepper and oil maybe to choke it down.
Okay, so you're talking about just like raw dogging a cucumber.
That's what it sounded like you said you could do.
Like
that was
your
feat of
about.
Strength you were proclaiming. Oh, I could eat a whole cucumber. Of course, anyone could eat a whole cucumber in a cucumber salad. That's what they serve you down at El Sushi Ono.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well. Oh, yeah. Donovan and I... clearly saw you just sitting there munching on a cucumber. Yeah, however like, long that would take.
I guess you could do that.
I could probably take the whole podcast. That would be great. The next podcast, you just ate a whole cucumber.
I've got it out on the window, so.
That could be a good sound effect, like crunching off a bite of cucumber.
You can eat a carrot like that. So
they're but carrots
they're so
taper.
Different.
Cucumbers taper very little compared
to
a
carrot.
Oh, yeah.
If you had as much carrot as you had cucumber, that'd be a lot of carrot.
We would get these ones at a place I used to work at in town. I'm sure that they are GMO,
like
so I'm not going to name the place.
Oh, yeah.
But they were every bit of, you know.
Well, if you go to, like, the Mexican market, they are just,
huge.
Like.
They're gigantic. They look like a
they
horse
don't
penis.
Taper, yes.
They're making size gestures.
Yeah,
with
but.
We're making roll, like, cylindrical. I'm making
I'm not fair enough with diameter to tell you.
Donovan's talking about, like, a pretzel before you roll it into the pretzel shape. Like, rolled out.
No, no. These things are way, like, they're huge.
They got more girth than that.
Yeah, they're gigantic.
Google it. I don't even know what he's talking
giant
about.
Giant carrots that
cucumbers, right? Are you talking about carrots now?
We were.
Oh man,
we were comparing cucumbers. It's like comparing cucumbers
because you
carrots.
Said I can eat a whole carrot. So I'm saying if you're going to eat a whole carrot that was the size of a cucumber, it'd have to be a pretty big carrot.
So I wanted to talk about how this cucumber just grew in the garden, and I didn't do anything for it. So I guess it's just like rainwater, a rainwater cucumber.
And sewage spill-off.
Yeah, kind of just...
Sewage spill-off? What are you talking about?
It's in a barrel with like good soil. But I guess the rainwater gets filtered somewhat, but doesn't it suck up the... I don't know. I don't know how...
Wait, why are you... You're like thinking these are toxic
vegetables? No, I know that they're not. Because when the rainwater is evaporated, most of the stuff stays in the soil. It doesn't transfer to the sky, to the cloud. Most of those, like... We'd have to be living in a very urban area for all the acid rain. Like, I don't think we're getting very high acid rain here.
Oh, is that what you're worried about? Acid rain?
Well, just like rain that's... Because drinking water is like heavily filtered rain. Like it goes through the
dirt
down through the earth into the aquifers and then you drink it and it's filtered. But when I had read something about how sunflowers, they plant them in like Chernobyl and like, what's the other one? Hiroshima or no?
Fukushima
to like absorb, like as they grow, they soak up a lot of the radiation that's in the, in the soil itself. And I don't know. Then you burn him. I don't really know.
What do you do with them? You're not going to eat them.
Well, do they die? And then, like, does that radiation go back into the soil? Or does, like...
See, yeah, I don't know what happens to
them. Oh, that's
it.
A good point. Like, does it remain in the carcass of the flower?
Or, you know,
you
does
definitely
it somehow
don't.
Filter it in such a way that each generation is drawing more radiation out than the last?
Well, you definitely don't eat them. Yeah. And if you think, well... That's another thing with like carbon dioxide, which is a problem in the atmosphere. Like trees are really good at storing carbon dioxide, but then trees die and you either burn them or use them for lumber or something.
Or
and then when you do that,
decay.
It releases its carbon dioxide that it's stored inside.
Well, when
it.
They die, they do release carbon dioxide as well. Like as they decay, I think that releases carbon dioxide.
Yeah, so there's like a natural cycle of carbon in the... atmosphere. And so the trees are just good sumps for it. And that's what I think of for all types of pollutants. And then it's like these cucumbers, like I'm not going to eat a whole 3 foot long cucumber
from our toxic garden.
But yeah. in the same token, the cucumber you're buying from the store, most of those are grown like at farmers who use actual gray water runoff. Like in the, most of those farming communities, that's what gray water is used for, is for, you know, irrigation of crops.
Yeah,
so take your pick.
I'm not being so wary of the cucumbers that grew in our yard. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with
this
them.
Guy is going to sprout a sixth toe.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to.
Well,
like,
if that happens, I'll know it was the cucumber.
Uh-huh.
On the next podcast, we'll call the next podcast the sixth toe, and I'll raw dog a cucumber. Like,
I don't
know. No dressing or anything.
Salt, pepper, and a little bit of oil.
That's awful. Can I mix it all together and dip it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's so bad. That's kind of like eating bread at a restaurant or something.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to, the amount of oil that you allotted him, is it going to last the entire cucumber?
I'm saying right now, I'm giving him 1/2 cup of olive oil or other oil of his choosing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what, I can choose the oil. What oil do you choose?
Ooh.
Sesame oil.
Tune in next week.
It could be a combination.
Sesame oil. Oh, I bet I would put sesame oil in with a little bit of olive oil. Yeah,
and
that
maybe
seems
some,
right.
And some chili oil as well, I think.
Chili oil. I didn't know about chili oil.
It's good.
Is it spicy?
Yeah, it gives it a little...
A little kick? Okay.
Yeah. What, a cucumber oil?
That's what we're mixing up, is a little cucumber oil so you can choke it down.
That sounds pretty good. I'll do that.
Well, you have like a really nice oil combination.
Yeah, the,
now.
The cucumber challenge.
It's starting to sound appealing.
Oh, you want to do it too? Well, we'll see if we have another.
Why, yeah. Can I do one of the 3-foot-long
yeah.
cucumbers?
Find
I,
an
we
Asian
should,
cucumber.
We can challenge.
I want to say it was called a Japanese cucumber. Is what they kept calling it. A
Japanese cucumber.
Cucumber.
Okay.
They're but, grown in Hiroshima.
Uh-huh. And my parents' front yard.
I'll take the ones from your parents' front yard, please.
All right.
This was. Can I just say one thing about these Japanese cucumbers? They were grown by the nation's number one Willie Nelson impersonator's wife, who was staying with my parents at the time.
What?
They had his tour bus parked in their front yard, and they had like a little garden growing in front of it.
That's funny to impersonate somebody. That's
He looks a lot like
Elvis.
Him. And he's been doing it for like 30 years.
So does he ever just go in and fool people? Like,
yeah, all the time. That's okay. How my parents met him, was like, my dad was like captivated by this,
oh my
meeting
gosh.
This dude.
Then they became friends after that?
Yeah, I'll shoot you guys Almost Willie on Facebook. You guys can like his page.
That is so funny because it's like,
plug for
on
Almost
your
Willie.
Parents' end, like it's so cool to be friends with somebody who just looks exactly like Willie Nelson.
Yeah, and now the guy like lives in the White Mountains, and like they're pretty good friends with my parents. It's wild.
I was pretty starstruck by a John Lennon impersonator when we went to that bar after we saw Rain perform.
Oh yeah,
I was like, oh, this is crazy.
I gave Almost Willie.
Should I buy him a drink?
A TV box or a like you know a box that a television would come in full of old westerns that I got for free off of Craigslist in Flagstaff.
Yeah,
and he was stoked. He was like, "Thank you." Like, and then. It's crazy because he's like, some of them don't have ends. So that means he watched so many of them to realize that some of the tapes were missing.
Wait, what were the tapes of?
They were old westerns. Like recorded off of TMC and other stuff.
Yeah, like, and they didn't record long enough and it went over the 2-hour mark.
Exactly. But there were other part twos of tapes, but I had them at Pete's Gallery.
Okay.
So some of them just got left there and lost.
Wow.
They recorded the Western Channel. Remember when that was a thing?
Not
people
really.
That recorded hours and hours, like I would say at least 75 video cassettes worth of the Western Channel, and I got for free off Craigslist.
But you guys,
whoa.
I do remember when cable was like 45 channels or like 50 channels, I think.
Yeah, I kind of remember.
This was, I think, Starz, the Western Channel. So they had a satellite dish
that
they're getting us.
That's kind of. It's a great idea. And at the time, it would have seemed really moronic to me. But now I'm like, oh, that'd be so cool to just watch.
I have a bunch of TLC
channel.
Aerospace documentaries that someone else recorded that I once again got free off Craigslist from Flagstaff that I did hang on to. And it's probably 30 tapes of like TLC, like various aerospace documentaries and stuff.
That is cool.
I guess what I was getting at is, remember when cable had only 50 channels.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Where I was raised, it only had like 40 because MTV was 31 and MTV was like almost towards the end of the channels, almost towards the end of the loop where it started over.
I recall that too. Mine was 33.
Oh, wow.
And I think they put all their good ones at 30 because it was just, I think it was Nickelodeon.
Yeah, exactly. 30 was Nickelodeon and then 31 was MTV. So
and
I
then
could...
I watched VH1 too and that
for,
was 34.
We didn't get VH1.
For me, I remember when they added 45 and that was Cartoon Network and I was like, damn, like cartoons all day, all the time.
Mine was UPN 45, which was like what played the Suns games. I can still remember the jingle. UPN 45, it's everything under the sun.
Whoa. Well, I guess we had local channel. Like, we had 47. That was, like, PBS. But cable was something different, right? Like when you had like local channels got reassigned under cable, didn't it?
This was just like you take the coaxial out of the wall, jam it right into the back of the TV.
Well, I know for a fact that the one and only channel 12 in Jacksonville is number 11. It was number 11 on the cable dial. So I don't know. And Fox 30 was number 10.
I don't know
anything about that. Yeah, I know that channel 3 like, in AZ is still 3, and like 8 is still KEAT, which is the PBS.
Uh-huh.
And 10 hasn't changed. Like those have always been the same since like I was a child with cable to now.
Yeah, cable's crazy.
Well, I don't get how now that it's all digital, why there's like it's like 67-1, 67. What does that even mean? I don't get that.
Well, that's broadcasting, though. That's like the broadcasting, like over the air, switched from analog to digital, and they were using a lot of bandwidth to broadcast those analog channels because analog signals are. They're huge.
Okay.
And so then they switched to digital and they saved so much space, but they still were renting all of this bandwidth from the FCC.
Okay.
And so they're squeezing other...
Oh, so they can just have way more channels.
Yeah, they can squeeze more signals onto their same... The bandwidth that they've already been paying for thousands
of years. But why
can't
they... Why do they have to have such confusing numbers?
Because it's signifiers. It's to signify that they are the purchaser of, let's say, channel 67.
Okay.
But we also own 67.1, 67.2. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So it's a lot like that. It's just a frequency.
So like what? So all the 8-somethings, those are all PBS or GPB.
Yeah, and 11-something in our case is all NBCs.
Oh, I did not get that.
Yeah,
we're all learning something here today at debate club.
But see, that's different than cable, though. Cable is like this different idea where they stick this thing into your house. And I remember like when I was young, you could like plug the cable into the back of your TV.
Yeah.
And you could get a bunch of channels with your remote.
That was how we always did it.
Some kids that had like the set top box.
Uh-huh.
And I remember specifically a set-top box with, like, left and right arrows on it that you had to go up to and, like, push the...
The set-top box was how people would get HBO and all the premium channels.
Oh.
The cable company would give you the set box, and then you could get, like, all the premium channels, the pay-per-views and stuff.
Wow.
And that was my dad started buying hacked set-top boxes so we could get free cable.
Nice.
And that was how I saw almost every movie made in the 90s. I've actually gone through... And like looked at lists of movies made between like the years 1993 and like 97. And I've seen like 80% of them. And that was because of that free cable set top box we were getting.
That's wild. So does HBO even show movies anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But it will just show every movie that was put out in the last, you know, cycle of movies. Like in the last year.
They also make movies too.
So. Right.
I think
they make shows.
HBO has multiple channels too. They have like a
that's true.
HBO hits, or they have like,
yeah,
right. They have a lot of dashes.
Totally,
yeah, dashes, right?
Yeah,
and there's like no limit to channels these days, right? It's like we were at your parents' house, and there's 1,000 channels, right? Like, there's more than 1,000.
Oh, I don't know, because there's some of those channels that are just
satellite,
audio.
Satellite, yeah, is crazy. But
it
my
goes
parents,
up to 999.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But a lot of them are skipped, like, but totally, because the 900s are where all the audio channels are.
Right, it's just like country music.
Mm-hmm. I like those. I actually got my parents on the New Age one, where sometimes when my mom will take a nap, I don't think she knows that the channel is called New Age, but she knows what the programming thing is in the remote. So she'll put on the New Age music to take a nap.
But will you change it if it's John Tesh?
Oh, nice. Nice callback.
Nah.
Did we ever get any feedback on that? Like,
call. Somebody did call the one time I left my phone at home and didn't take it to work. I got a phone on the fan mail line.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know who it was.
No voicemail.
They didn't leave a voicemail. It was probably...
You're right. Yeah,
he wouldn't
leave
he was.
Does he do that with his mouth?
That was the story.
If I answered, he was going to ask me if I was at home, so he could.
He
put
left
a broken
song
bottle
on the
in
voicemail.
Me.
All right, let's never talk about him again.
Yeah, please.
So technology's changed a lot. Like it started. Like, I guess
that's the whole point of technology is to change, right?
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about. Right?
It didn't nearly as rapidly for a long time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's in rapid expansion mode right now.
I think TV is a good example of it, because like it started out black and white. There were four channels. You had to watch Star Trek and like whatever
NBC like, or ABC was playing.
Yeah, like
you only
Green
had the
Acres.
Networks.
I don't even know what they played. You'd Leave It to Beaver for sure. Mm-hmm.
The Andy Griffith Show
at the beginning of television.
Yeah,
no, well, I don't think that goes at back. The Honeymooners was really early.
Before that, they would copy radio shows, but for TV. Like the early television shows were like little variety shows, but they would just show the image, and then they would have ads between them where like the camera never stopped rolling. They just panned to the other side of the stage, and they would have an ad, and then it would pan back over to like the main action of the stage.
So like the Tonight Show and like the
that's like the 60s.
So it was all show. You're saying it was all live. It,
a lot
in
of
the beginning.
A lot of early television was live. Yes,
the first broadcast television was the Olympics in Germany, right? With
36.
With Hitler.
Yeah, the 1936 Olympics was the first thing broadcast. I think worldwide. It could be your seat worldwide because I know it wasn't over satellite.
No, it was. I think it was probably just
over
as far
radio,
as they could broadcast
radio transmission
it.
To various towers and stuff. Probably
because that was another thing too. Like with the old bunny ears, you could pick up weird signals depending on where you'd put it in your house.
I never even considered. So this is like it's a big deal to have a live worldwide broadcast. Like in the beginning of television, that was like
I don't
oh
think
that's
it,
insane.
I don't
concept.
Think you could watch it everywhere unless like affiliates were.
Right, but it would be like
it
would be happening
and I think
in Tokyo,
was,
and it would be happening in Berlin.
And
it would
but to
be
own
happening.
A television like with that kind of cable, I think you had to be quite.
Oh
well
really?
To do. Yeah, it wasn't like a common man thing.
I do.
They were still
like
listening
what,
on the radio. Like most people, just had the radio tuned into the 1936 Olympics. I would say.
Wait, the 1936 Olympics was broadcast? That's blown my mind. I didn't think it was that early.
I learned that from the movie Contact.
Okay.
Because that's the signal that the aliens broadcast back to,
oh, yeah.
to America,
creepy.
To the Americans.
Man.
Yeah, so then television, like, it went through all these changes. Like, it got cable. I think cable helped with the live broadcasting of stuff because, like, the transmission through a cable is faster than over the air.
And satellite, like, for live broadcasts, solidify that you could do a worldwide live
and
broadcast.
Yeah, you can do longer distance broadcasting.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize until you did this hand signal where you pinched your fingers like a wire that, like, cable just meant that it was
well, you know,
connected.
connected rather than through airwaves.
The cables
these
days are fiber optic, and they're about the girth of that cucumber we were talking about earlier.
Oh,
that can't be true.
Yeah,
they're
pretty fatty. Sick. But like they stick multiple like fiber optic lines in there.
But you're talking about the Japanese cucumber.
I'm talking about the ones that are like under the sea, like connecting
sea cucumbers.
Oh, sea cucumbers!
Yeah, they're sea cucumbers connecting America's internet to England's internet.
The World Wide Web.
Yeah. And they're probably about an inch and a half.
When I was a kid,
diameter.
Yeah. I had no concept of the internet until probably like 1994. It didn't even motherfucking really cross my mind.
Well, like, how? It doesn't.
You didn't do the dial-up thing?
Not until like 97, I think, was when we first got internet at my parents' house. Was 1997.
Oh, wow. You don't
remember
the...
you just didn't... It wasn't even on your radar
it
that
was,
it existed?
Yeah, until Windows 95 came out, and it had, like, a little internet icon, and I was like, well, what the hell is that? And people were like, you could connect to this thing.
So, at that moment, were you like, this is amazing,
no,
I'm
no
so
one,
excited
no one
to
had
know
it.
About this?
It was pretty shitty.
Well, yeah, like, yeah. It, oh, was, okay. It was so... in such a infantile process. Like,
okay.
It really didn't start blowing my mind until, like... I got it in 97. I'd say 99 is when Napster blew up. And that was when I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But like, I was doing all kinds of stuff on the internet as soon as we got it.
Yeah.
Like I was fooling around with it the moment we got it. I was doing.
So, but there was, stuff. There as the internet matured and you matured with it, there was a moment where you were like, this is an amazing thing. It's.
I feel like that was really early. And sometimes I get sparks of it now, but it went away pretty fast. Like,
but it was there was a
oh yeah
there was a falling in love
it, yeah it was well, it was funny and cool because I could pursue the things I was interested in Whereas, like, I didn't really have a lot of outlets to do that in, like, my small town. So, like, I could, like, get on my wrestling message board and talk about Conan and how, like, badass I thought Conan was. So, like, other people. Yeah. Whereas I couldn't talk to anybody but two other people in town. Like, my two close friends in town who were the only ones I could, like, converse with about this alternatively. And that was, like, how I learned about all kinds of music and stuff.
But I feel like that's a really relatable and... Yeah, it's a very relatable and common story for people specifically our age.
Yeah.
Whereas our children, like, are just, it's going to take them probably 30 years to be able to look back at the internet and think this is something that's, this is an insane thing.
Yeah, I mean, our kids don't understand that, like, when the internet goes out, we can't watch television. Like, we have to plug in DVDs and shit. Like, they don't get that.
Yeah, pre-technology, I wish that, like... But it makes you nostalgic for, like, when it was not so easy and you had to use DVDs and CDs.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like,
that's
and you're
just
watching.
The way of the world. Yeah. I think everyone is nostalgic for, something that felt like... I think it's an innocence because I do feel like it's like life hardens you and you want to go back to when you didn't feel that way.
You guys about public school.
You guys remember... No, but you guys remember even just how, like, the 80s and early 90s looked. Like, it's just so funny compared to, like, how it does today. Like, we were in what seems to be a very naive time.
Oh, but I think that's always true. Because I was somebody who was, like, crazy about a time before I even existed. Yeah. Like, I was so into the 1960s. Mm-hmm. I was like, this fucking sucks. I want to be back then because it was obviously better.
I remember that feeling of just like watching movies and then like being in older people's homes who were kind of like a call back to like, you know, they had like just radios or stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is kind of like how people lived, you know, previous to my generation.
I always picture like a log cabin where there's like a cauldron, like always boiling with some stew over the fire.
That's before you. That was what our
time before the internet.
That's what your parents grew up with.
Like they spoke in grunts and used stones.
No, they spoke, but it was like, "Y'all right? Oh, I'm all right."
Yeah,
and then they just like eat their stew.
But
silence.
That's especially true for people from Florida. Like you all were just like down in the sticks, like wearing little hats, like. Rocking on the porch before the internet came.
Today I don't know. His accent definitely didn't sound like Florida.
No, it didn't.
What was that accent?
That was like very early Gaelic English.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. And I was just thinking about my grandfather today. He was born in the late 20s. And he lived through World War II. Like, he was alive during it and after it. And, like, he enlisted after it. And, like, went to Korea. And obviously, because, like, it was a big deal, and he's like, the military's awesome. I don't know.
A lot of people feel that way from that generation.
Yeah, so it's, like, it's strange to see how the technology of the world that you live in shapes you. Because you're, like, I don't know. Even today, we're still a product of just what we read, and that's, like, a big deal. Like,
oh, yeah.
A lot of people who think a certain way never have to read anything outside of what they believe, so...
Are you saying that's true of right now? And
that's true of... I think that's always been true.
No, I don't think that's always been true.
It's especially easy now to pursue your own interests on, like, a worldwide scale. Like, you can connect with people easier than ever.
Yeah, kind of like your wrestling thing. Like, you could find people who still think Conan was a great wrestler.
Today.
Yeah, today. Yeah. Like, and there's, like, a whole, like, community
that's
of,
me.
Like...
That's me.
I bet there's, like, a con for it. Like,
a Conan con. I don't know if that's true. But, you know, he is the Hulk Hogan of Mexico. I read Rey Mysterio's book. And he called Conan the Hulk Hogan of Mexico.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Well, Hulk Hogan.
That was when I was working at Goodwill on my breaks. I didn't want to take Rey Mysterio's book off the premises, so I just read it on my breaks while I was there.
That sounds like it'd be a good book.
A lot of it was about how short he is. I think he has a complex. I think Homeboy has a complex about being 5'4".
Well, they also took his mask away, which...
He has it back, though, and no one remembers when they took his mask away.
I do.
I remember his little baby face, too.
It was really chubby and, like, swollen. Like, he ate too much salt, I think.
He just looked like, you know, the dudes who, like, did construction in Sholo when they took his mask off.
Wait, who is this guy?
Rey Mysterio Jr.
Did somebody knock at the door?
I think that was just the power of my voice.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Come in. No, it wasn't anyone. So how are we going to like relate this to anything? Well, we talked about the internet. We talked about
cable
TV.
Well, that was the huge technological change I feel in my life was the internet. Like things were kind of going pretty slow and easy mm-hmm. previous to that. Like
I think you're right.
And like I especially remember before even like having a personal computer because we didn't get a computer in my house until like 1995, and that was when I was 10. So like previous to that, like.
It was all slide rules.
So was
and
the
adding
internet one of the things that people have prophesied?
Because
that's what's kind of what we're talking about, like technological prophecy. Like
I don't think that in like sci-fi, which seems to always be the predictor of like future technologies, they really discuss the internet that much in the way that we know it, and just that they have immediate broadcast.
Yeah,
and are able to reach anyone immediately.
Global communication.
Or they have a computer that they can immediately tap up and find any information. But they're systems separate of one another in old sci-fi, whereas now we've combined the technologies into one service.
Yeah. And like thinking about old episodes of Star Trek, there's like this idea of what the future will be.
Right.
And then like you get there. And like
flying
cars is
a
good example.
Like they're so the idea of what's going on in that show is so far in the future, and the internet is like basically it's like the groundwork for all future technology, right?
Yeah, just like communications is pretty important.
But it's such a huge emerging
technology.
Like we
need the universal translator.
And we didn't predict communications being nearly as big as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think one thing we don't talk about is how the military industrial complex is also the other huge technology.
Wow, Starfleet.
Is so much money is being dumped into technologies that we as the common person don't even like actually see or discuss, but they are there that are like cutting edge of, you know, science and technology, but they're not for consumers. You know, we kind of get the plowshare of like what comes down from their technologies.
Well, yeah, we get the microwave from submarines, right? They had to cook underwater and they invented microwaves. And then
I didn't know that.
On Men in Black, they had those tiny CDs, right? Mm-hmm. And he's
mini discs?
Yeah, mini discs. And he's like, I got the whole Elvis collection. And then Will Smith is like, on that little disc. Like, that's like a scene that's making fun of what we're talking about.
I guess.
But the idea that the military, like, you know, I feel like they're just trying to blow other people up or not get blown up.
Yeah.
And
but also,
a lot of cool ideas come out of that.
Well, like that movie that I really liked, that Men Who Stare at Goats. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all about, like, psychological technology. Like, they were trying to train these people so they could, like, kill somebody from like telekinesis or what would you call
it? Which was researched by the Russians quite extensively.
So that is something that would have like a lot, that could have a lot of applications outside of warfare, like that would be pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So things like that kind of research, it's not just like, what was that?
They'd answer that frontal lobe question.
Yeah, like where is it? What does it do?
Oh, right.
I have Dr. Sharp were here. Oof.
But I'm just saying, I think it's true that is the, like, I think you even used hotbed. That is like the hotbed of technological advancement because so much money is being put into it. And then what they discover, like,
slowly
just,
fed
it can
down
just,
to us.
Yeah, it's like it finds totally different applications than how it was intended to be used.
When you think of like money and technology, it's kind of like Iron Man, how he could just like build whatever he wanted because he had so much money.
Right.
And then just dumped it all into technology and built himself a new heart. I don't really get Iron Man. He's his own thing.
Yeah,
that
he
is
had
a good
lot of
point.
Like, money.
So I guess now, where do we think the future is going? Like now that we don't have flying cars, obviously. Like Eddie brought that up, and that's, you know, what everyone thinks the future is like flying
the Jetsons. Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
that obviously has not occurred. Nothing that happened in the Jetsons has occurred. And we're 2018. The Jetsons are pissed. But now that we have lived in 2018, where do we think in reality, like 2038, what do we think real technologies are going to be when we're living in that time?
Well, can I just say that what you said brought up something for me that I didn't necessarily realize, and it's that a lot of their technology required huge amounts of energy. Mm-hmm. And so we're definitely advancing in a way where we're trying to find things that use an alternative or less energy.
Mm-hmm. Or dilithium. Dilithium in Star Trek, which is this like undiscovered.
Oh, we haven't discovered it yet?
Yeah, awesome source of.
But I was listening to a podcast about how chemists, like the way that the different elements were discovered, it was like, oh, we know that this is going to be an element before they discovered it. So then it's like they kind of worked backwards from like, this is what it's going to look like. How would we?
Yeah, no, there's how would we find it? Nova about energy, and like the most amount of energy we can make is like through fusing two atoms together and creating like this huge, like that's what the sun is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like fusing.
Nuclear fusion.
And that's pretty cool. Then, like, if we could fuse, if we could harness that amount of power, we could access, like, antimatter, matter annihilation.
Okay.
Which is...
That sounds terrifying. That's, yeah, like, well, destroying a planet.
That's the cause of the war that Zefram Cochrane, like, rises from and, like...
Oh, World War III in the Star Trek universe?
Yeah, yeah. He creates, like, warp drive with the antimatter annihilation technology instead of creating antimatter weapons, which decimates the planet.
So, yeah. So, I'm saying in that realm, I think they're thinking a lot of energy-based... or technology that requires a lot... or is still requiring fossil fuels, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What I think is cool when I hear about is, like, all the like biological technology where they're like, I love this, the stuff, it just gives me goosebumps to think about how like they're making they're like using 3D printers to like print organs, like instead of using plastic they're using like cells
tissue.
Yeah.
Would you get like a lab heart or like a lab lung if you had to?
I don't think I would want one, but I would definitely want one of my kids to get they were in a position where that was going to save their life.
Or like lab livers for alcoholics.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are realizing that this is kind of where technology is headed, where like cybernetics are going to be a reality in our lifetime, and like artificial, you know, not life, but flesh.
Yeah.
Is going to be a thing.
Man and machine. Okay, we need to like combine tech into our bodies.
I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast before. Stop me if I did. But we were on the airplane recently, and there was an interview with a guy who had been in a mountaineering accident, like the late 80s or something. But he's like this like huge investor at the forefront of like bionic limbs and stuff.
He was doing like the seatbelt presentation with like the, air, the oxygen mask.
He was in Sky Magazine. Like there was an interview with him in Sky Magazine.
Sky Mall.
Yeah. But but just the way that he talked about it and the passion that he had, it was like he was sounded like a very, to me, sounded like a real villain.
Well, what about that guy who was in the Olympics, the Blade Runner?
Well, didn't he, like, kill his family?
The Blade Runner?
Didn't he?
What are you guys talking about?
No, I'm talking about
the people with, like, the guy who was in the Olympics who had two artificial legs.
The Special Olympics, right?
No, he was in the real Olympics. He was in the...
That's real?
The non...
With, like, blade legs?
I think so.
He competed and did well. That was this year's Olympics?
No, this was...
It had to be the Paralympics because Special Olympics.
We should look this up because it wasn't.
What about Usain Bolt? Usain Bolt just won.
Oh, you're right.
Always.
You know, to be honest, I don't know if that man would be allowed to compete in the normal Olympics.
I think it was a big. I think it was a big debate. This is like something we're all ignorant about. But I think it's like a lot of
I feel like he won so hard in the Special Olympics that he was like, "Why don't I be in the regular?" And they're like, you can't because you're Blade Runner.
Yeah, because
like, but then cyborg. I think he was. I I need somebody else. We need to talk to somebody who knows about this or use the internet.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen right now, so we can just pontificate all we like.
I'm talk
very
about...
uncomfortable with pontificating
then
about
let's move
what
on. Let's, yeah. Then let's move on to our actual topic at hand rather than the small nuance
okay.
of it.
Well, okay, sorry about that.
So you were saying your thing that you think the future holds, which is cybernetics or cyborgs.
I didn't say cyborgs. I was saying
artificial organs and yeah. limbs.
You didn't say cyborgs.
No,
because right.
I'm saying.
But that's what.
But
like
you're saying,
man and machine.
No, it's not machine though.
It's
using machines to create a biological.
You're saying no machine on the body.
Right. I'm not saying you implant a microchip into
you're
you
saying
or like half arm like a
yeah
so you're talking about like genetic engineering.
I'm talking about genetic engineering.
She's okay. talking about lab grown organs and
yeah
like how they you've seen the famous picture of the rat with the ear growing on the back of it.
Yeah, it's weird because it is like how is it so different than what you're saying, but I feel like it
okay,
feels very different.
We got it. We understand. I just used cyborg because I was thinking okay. of Blade Runner, and that's a cool side project of your whole thing. I wanted to talk about. I've said this before, and like we talked about having kids at the beginning of the podcast, and we talked about having like really like accident prone children, and I was like, man, I never want to teach my kids to drive. I'm really looking forward to self-driving cars.
Automated vehicles.
Like, yeah, autonomous, robot-controlled highways and roadways. Like, I don't want to drive. Like, I kind of liked it when I was 15 and 16, and then I quit liking it very quickly after that. Like, once I started having to be the person that drove everywhere, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I see so many pitfalls when we start talking about that kind of stuff, because I'm just... Like, okay, what are we going to be doing while we're not driving? We're just going to be on our phone, like, looking at the internet more and, like...
I also feel like it...
books and...
When you make something autonomous like that, it makes it harder for you to make the decisions you have to on the road. You're like, oh, I forgot this thing, my purse at home, but you're in this line of cars that is just all being self-driven. You can't decide to just flip a UE where it says not to flip a UE. And do it.
The law.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you less ability to... You definitely have to decide what you're going to do and where you're going if travel becomes autonomous, because you're going to have less of a chance to change your plans.
Yeah, yeah. And I understand that, but I'm willing to sacrifice that for not having to drive places. And maybe you don't always have to... Like, maybe driving's still an option, but...
Sounds like you want a matter transporter.
I do want that.
sounds more appealing than an automatic car to me.
Honestly, I feel like that's outside of my lifetime.
And I feel like I don't know. Think that's a possible technology.
We need like much.
I think it's
computers.
A possible technology. I think it's going to be something that is only used in the elitist of.
And I see it as being
circles.
Far off, like to make someone's matter reappear assembled as it was, like someplace else.
Well, there's different theories on that. It's
don't want to be part of the test subjects, I'll tell you that.
Well, that would be military people, right? So we don't have to worry about it. Like, the military will...
That's true.
Work all the kinks.
That's going to be a big hot-button topic when it becomes real in 1,000 years. People are going to hate what's going on with matter transport technology, I think.
I don't understand the idea of wireless matter transporting. Like, I could see it going through a cable, but there's some
idea... What if somebody smashed the cable? Then you're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, a lot could go wrong.
So that's why
power
you go through
out.
The air, like,
the
no matter what's
goes
going
out, right?
on.
Yeah. There's, like, no batteries.
And you're just stored in the cables.
That
like,
thing's got to have a
isn't that Lawnmower
generator.
Man? Didn't that happen to the Lawnmower Man?
There was a Star Trek about like a transporter ghost, like the first guy who went through transport.
That'd be good. Is that original series or TNG?
It's Enterprise.
It's late.
Yeah.
Eddie liked Enterprise. I mean, there's things about it.
Eddie really also healing. Will eat a whole cucumber with nothing but salt. Olive oil and pepper.
It's yet to be determined.
You're right.
Maybe
should
I'll
question
back
his judgment.
I'm really trying to tease the audience here. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. You never know. You gotta tune in.
Well,
next week.
I think Dr. Sharp will still be out of town, so we're gonna need some sort of gimmick so we don't fight one another next week.
So we barely got through this. What's your hope for the future? Like technology-wise, what do you think within your lifetime is going to improve or ruin?
Maybe a technological means to open to other realities, or like a more easy way to like manifest like things like that. Maybe not magic exactly, but a way that it becomes more easy to see unreality, the dream side of life.
Commune with the spirits.
Exactly.
Maybe. See, I think that the thing with that is that like that's not going to be something you can just plug into via technology, but the things like the self-driving car, they're just giving you the time and space to explore that in a way that you couldn't when you were all caught up on like, oh, I need to get here at this time.
I'm seeing,
and I need to eat a sandwich.
More like a something you something you're able to implant maybe in your forehead or the top of your head.
Yeah.
Now, see, the thing is, like, that's the work that you have to do on your own.
This is magic technology, I think, which is something that isn't really explored.
But I listen to the Mysterious Universe podcast, and they often talk about like these group studies where they'll get like a concentrated group around the world, you know, communicating over the internet, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, we're all going to think about this one person, and we're going to think positive thoughts about this person. And then that person like doesn't know that they're doing it. And then they like their health improves, or like they have a good week at work.
And I feel like this is just like what you're talking about with the Russians, and they're like delving into psychic technology with, you know, It's kind of in the same vein.
Well, yeah, what you're saying is the most terrifying thing. At first it sounds cool, and then I'm like, no, that's the worst thing.
Because
then you just get plugged into the Matrix.
Well, it also sounds like all of the technology we're discussing in the wrong hands is terrifying.
Oh, right, yeah. Self-driving suicide bomber cars.
So
well,
I feel
I'm just imagining somebody printing a bunch of livers. So I'm like, is that that bad?
Except for when the livers like a genetic disease like implanted in them.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
you know,
driving down the price.
Oh, and like a disease that like this, it's gonna springboard really fast the second that first liver.
They used to have to give us.
You hooked on their liver. Like you have to keep buying more of their livers.
It used to have to be caro syrup and like high fructose corn syrup to make us this ill, but they can just implant it like in our liver. From birth, then you're there.
It's like the apple liver, and they're like, "Well, you didn't update it, so you can't drink Sprite."
Okay, but if you have a technology that's going to put you in a different plane of existence,
where I'm headed is what, you know, technology would be in sci-fi novels, and now where we see what technology is, like, you know, what fantasy was for sci-fi.
Right.
And so now, like, what would be most fantastical to me, like, as a technology that would be cool, but also,
freaking crazy.
That's my transporter.
That's awesome. Like,
yeah. I hope for the transporter. I don't believe in the transporter. I don't think it could happen in my lifetime. A hopeful, like, non-realistic prospect for sci-fi technology.
Oh, non-realistic?
Well, hold on. I mean, you know, be a little more positive about it. Like,
I got really frightened by what Donovan said, and now I'm just worried about that happening, but also kind of excited because I'm like, that sounds awesome, maybe I don't mind incubated.
Maybe yours was like the energy thing, maybe sort of...
I guess the way I looked at it was a lot more positive than the way you looked at it, which would be like immediately to the evils of men, which is like, I guess, why we're discussing technology.
No, that's why we're discussing public fucking school.
Is the evils of men.
No, I mean, it's where the mind goes. Like, you go to the... That's what a lot of science fiction is just, like, the worst case scenario. It's like doomsday, and this is how...
That's not exactly true.
You don't think so?
There's a lot of science fiction novels, and they're not all about the end of the world.
Okay. Well, honestly, I think... A lot of times science fiction scares me because I'm like, oh, that could be the case. And it's like a little too hard for me to accept.
So you want to, I mean, we weren't going
there. Oh, I didn't
there,
answer the question.
Do you want to pick something that's really scary to end this spooky podcast?
Yeah. Debate club.
No, I did hear about organically grown houses, which sounds pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
See, that would be great.
Yeah, I like things that bring, like, use the technologies of nature to make us feel like we're more connected to the earth.
Oh, yeah, maybe we can, like, genetically engineer trees to just grow in the shape of our house.
Exactly.
In shapes of homes, yeah. Then you can, you know, plant them, and they grow into homes over
you
time.
You can genetically engineer a cucumber to be shaped like a bowl, so you don't have to get a bowl. You can just use a cucumber as a bowl, and then it's biodegradable.
Yeah, eat the cucumber bowl.
Yeah,
see, that's great.
Sounds disgusting. We'll talk to you next week where I eat a whole cucumber. Maybe. Dr. Sharp's not back next week?
Nope.
Man. So it'll be just us again.
I'm sorry. I feel like I was really terrible at being on the podcast today.
We'll find out.
Next week.
athenspublic@gmail.com.
We can rate me in knives.
At athenspublic. Rate us in knives. Rate Meg's performance in particular. Give us a call at 706-521-3716. Leave us a message because Donovan won't answer. And if he does, make sure it's like a entertaining conversation that he'll repeat.
Yeah, otherwise.
You might not. You might lose it. We appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next Friday or whatever.
Thursday.
It's
maybe not.
Maybe or maybe not, yeah.
Who knows what could happen?
Keep an eye on it.
We may be living in an alternate plane.